Welcome to the sixth episode of First Post Cricket Podcast, York. Joining me today is a former India cricketer, Snehal Pradhan, who also happens to be the first cricketer to feature on our podcast. Snehal is now a well-known scribe and a YouTuber as well. Good to have you on York.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
We also have senior journalist and Network 18 group editor for sports, Gaurav Kadra, with us. Welcome, Gaurav.
Thank you, Vaibhav. Good to be here.
With international women's cricket growing rapidly, the next step, particularly in Indian context, was enhancing the domestic and the age group setup. India Women's A team is in Australia and are a couple of days away from starting their maiden tour down under. The Indian side led by Vedha Krishnamurthy will play three T20s and three one-day matches. The series is a part of an agreement between Cricket Australia and BCCI to host annual A series between these two nations. To talk more on the reintroduction of the A tours for women is seen as a step towards bridging the huge gap between the quality of domestic and international cricket. My name is Vaibhav Shah and I got in touch with Snehal and Gaurav to understand more on the same.
So we have Snehal who could tell us how big this step is and how is this going to affect in the longer run of the sport.
I think it's a huge step and like you said, Vaibhav, the intention is to bridge that gap between domestic cricket and international cricket. And to understand the gravity of this step, it's a good starting point to understand that gap between the national team and domestic cricket, the standard of domestic cricket overall. And one of the good indicators of that is the Australia Women versus India A series, which happened last year when Australia A came down for a series against India A. So you had the second best, for example, in Australia and the second best team in India up against each other. And Australia Women completely outclassed the India Women A team, just showing you how much of a difference there is. At the same time, when in that series, for the T20 leg, the Indian team, they played in that series, just under the name of India A, but it was a full Indian team. And they thoroughly outclassed the Australia A team. So that just tells you that there is one entire step in between from the best of domestic cricket outside of the top 15 and then the top 15. And therefore, to bridge that gap is just so important, which is why I think these tours will really be a big step towards that.
Could you expand on the significance of it? Because I think there has been sporadic tours which have been planned as a feeder, tours have been planned but haven't had the regular run. So in that sense, what is going to be the significance if this happens on a constant basis?
I think a good way to look at it is to see how women's cricket has been run over the last 20 years. Say 2000 to 2005, the Women's Cricket Association of India was running the show. Now, this was a body which at the time was being led by Shubhangi Kulkarni as secretary. It was a cash-strapped body, but she tried to do her best for the players, including a landmark move of sending an India under-21 team to Pakistan in 2005. That was the first time really an A team, or you could call it an A team, got this kind of international exposure. Then 2005 to 2010, when the BCCI took over women's cricket under Sharad Pawar, there were a few initiatives that promoted women's cricket. But then 2009 onwards, roughly, under the Srinivasan years, women's cricket languished. And there was really nothing done beyond whatever basic needed to be done, the few bare minimum international series. India's stock fell. They finished third in the 2009 World Cup, but didn't qualify for the semifinals in the 2013 World Cup, which they hosted. Then again, there was a bit of an upswing in the Anurag Thakur years when there was a little more interest taken in women's cricket by the decision makers. You had the women's contracts coming up at that time. And after 2017, now everyone has just woken up that yes, women's cricket is something that needs to be given attention to. And we're finally seeing a little bit of focus, not just on the national team and giving them contracts, but also on the second string.
Gaurav, you could come on this. You've seen the upswing the women's cricket has seen in the last 5 years or so. I wanted to understand that Indian team, in their sense, they have been doing well. You have world-class cricketers in the team itself, despite not having a robust domestic system in place. But now that is A-tours and domestic cricket is also taking some form of shape, this seems like a very big move.
Yes, Abhav, it is a significant move. And I think it's important to understand why ATOS and the second string of in any sport is very important, because it is a reflection of the depth and the number of players that are available. It's very, very important for the players that are part of the main setup to constantly be threatened about their places, to constantly have other players snapping at their heels. And that is a reflection of a very strong system. And I think this is where women's cricket needs to head, because while there's no doubt that there are some very, very skilled players and they've come through, I mean, obviously, you know, there are the legends of the game such as Mithali Raj and Chilan Goswami. But subsequent to that, a whole string of players have appeared, like Harmanpreet Kaur, like Riti Mandana, and now this new wave of players like Shefali Varma, as well as Jemima Rodriguez, and players of this kind. However, these players as well, I mean, all of the ones who are coming in need to come through a robust, competitive system. And when they are in the team, they should not feel like now we've made it and now there's no threat to our spots. And an ATOR will show the sport is growing. And I think that from that point of view, it's very important. Also, I'm sure Snehal agrees that unless India shows that there are numbers in women's cricket, there are significant numbers, till then, the idea of an IPL of any duration or league of any duration will be a stillborn idea, because till the time that there are numbers, you cannot have a situation in which, you know, a sport can thrive. So I think from that point of view, this tour will be very closely watched, because you'll see what is the depth like and what is the quality that these players bring to the park.
I'll just come on to women's IPL in a minute, but before that, you mentioned about the depth, and depth is something, the broad basing is something which a lot of women cricketers have highlighted in the past. Be it Mithali Raj, be it Chilan Goswami, be it Smriti Mandana, they have said that, you know, there has the up-and-coming players from domestic setup haven't quite matched the international standard, and the gap is humongous. This is seen as something to bridge it. So in that sense, Snehal, could you just highlight how the systems are in few other countries, say like in Australia, who has a robust system in which they have the Shooting Stars, which is their A team, and then England, who have an academy program. New Zealand just distributed contracts to the domestic players this year. Could you give a summary of what's happening around the world?
I think the best way to try and get a sense of this is my experiences as a player touring both Australia and England. And the tour almost starts as soon as you get there and you're preparing for the first game. Because, you know, even if you're playing against the Australian Shooting Stars, which is what their academy program used to be called when the team was called the Southern Stars, or the England Academy, who you will face in the warm-up game before the actual England and Australian teams, you knew that there was a very good chance that you could lose that match if you took your eyes off the ball. If you didn't really put in the best performance, there was a chance that you might have an upset there. And we've seen teams from Sri Lanka, for example, going to Australia, and the Governor General 11 team beating those international quality teams. That's happened before. So there was one match in particular I remember. I think it was a tour in 2011 where we went there for a quadrangular series, and we were playing a T20 warm-up game against the England Academy women. And the game went down to a super over. It was that close, and it required, you know, the last minute heroics from Harmanpreet Kaur, who came out and smashed a few runs in the super over off a spinner to really bring us home. So it's that close because those programs have been well developed for a number of years. The Shooting Stars, which has now been renamed, they've been around for a long time. Australia have already always picked second string squads. Even within the WBBL, you have the Perry 11 and the Lanning 11, which is the youngest, most promising players from each WBBL team, split into two teams and made to play an exhibition match against each other. And in the England setup, you have, as soon as the contracts have been announced, you've also had a list of England Academy players announced. So they are actively developing their second string as well. New Zealand now have gone one step further and given contracts or allowances, match allowances, to a number of domestic players who they picked centrally, rather than allowing state teams to, you know, say that these are the best players. So in that sense, India haven't had that coherent system for long. The success of the players we've seen at the top level has almost been despite the system rather than because of it. And that's also why a player like Harmanpreet Kaur is only now, you know, when she's close to 30, matured in the last 3 or 4 years. You have a long gestation period for a player once they get to the national team to really learn a lot.
Gaurav, what do you think? India, the BCCI, the Indian board must be taking cues from what their counterparts are doing in that sense, and it's high time where there is a proper system in place.
Yes, because I think that also after the 2017 World Cup, when India reached the final and had that wonderful run, I think that was in many ways a springboard to realizing that women's cricket can be an extremely enjoyable sport to present to the audience. I mean, just watching, for instance, some snatches of the WBBL, including the final, which was a sellout, you know, you could sense that a whole ecosystem has been built around the sport, because the sport itself is an extremely compelling and watchable product. Now, and I think that message has come through since the 2017 World Cup, and subsequently the Indian players have had a much higher profile. Now, see, Vaibhav, I think we have to remember that the feeder of all of this is the television money that comes into Indian cricket. At the moment, how Indian cricket rights are sold is that the rights are made available to the broadcaster. The only valuable rights are the men's games that are played in India, and the women's games as well as domestic cricket is bundled together with that. I think going forward, once there is a greater clarity on the domestic calendar, once some sort of league starts to exist, once the profile of these players is that much higher, there's depth in the system, there's fight for places, and players are engaged in, you know, are engaged in a much more sort of competitive environment than it is currently, then I think the other aspects of this will flow naturally. I think it's very encouraging, and I'm very curious to hear Sneha's thoughts on this, but it's very encouraging that there's a stream of very, very good young players that have made a mark in the last 5-6 months. And you felt like you're sitting on the cusp of seeing this breakthrough in numbers. You know, the likes of Shefali Verma, Jemima Rodriguez, how well prepared they seem to be for international cricket as they are making the cut. And I think this is one of the things that we are seeing in men's cricket, obviously, a lot more in the last few years. When players are coming into the international scene, they seem to be very well prepared or not as intimidated by the idea that they are not no longer are they playing at the second level of the game, but they are at the top level, and they seem to be quite well prepared for it. We are seeing snatches of that with the new young players that are coming through in women's cricket. I think that's a good sign, because that would mean that these 8 overs will produce, one, it will produce good cricket. It will show that Indian teams, when they are competing against similar opposition around the world, are quite good. And these players will fight for places in the senior team. And that, I think, will be the springboard which will result in the game growing.
Snell, would you like to add something on that? Like he mentioned about the young players, there are plenty of them who are coming through. Shefali Verma, obviously, being the 15-year-old starlet, and there's obviously Harleen Dale, Devika Vaidya, Nusrat Parveen, you can name them, Priya Punia. So there are plenty of them coming despite them not having a structure. Just imagine having a very proper structure in place.
Yeah, and I'm probably going to be slightly cynical and maybe disagree with Gaurav in that we are seeing all of a sudden a lot of players coming in and being, you know, international quality. I definitely agree that we saw that with Jemima Rodriguez. Shefali Verma has given us a glimpse that she's really made a step up very fast from what I saw her in the women's IPL to what she's shown in her international outings. She's added a lot of skills, added some fitness, definitely. But I still think that these are the exceptions to the rule. I don't think that the system is creating players who are ready for international cricket just as yet. I'm sure these A-tours are going to add to them. The timing of this A-tour becomes quite critical with the T20 World Cup going ahead and Indian players not really getting any experience in Australia during the WBBL because of their international commitments. So it is very much like you said. I mean, just to point out the inconsistency between the results that we see, the kind of quality of players that we get, and the systems that we have. I mean, Smriti Mandhana and Deepti Sharma are two high-class players who just recently, for example, helped Western Storm win yet another Kia Super League title. But both of those players made their debuts at 17. Now, India does not have a national under-16 tournament. So if you can find talented 17-year-olds who go on to become world-class players in a few years without an under-16 tournament, just think how much more we should be able to unearth if we have these kind of systems in place.
Absolutely. Talking about that, the structure, you know, BCCI President Saurav Ganguly recently said, you need to understand, when he was asked regarding the WIPL, you need to understand the practicality of it, and there needs more depth in women's cricket, which perhaps probably everyone agrees here. And he said that in 4 years' time, they'll get to a 17 IPL with the best domestic women players available. So that's some step away. So before that, this serves as a proper link. Is that the only way to go, or you need something more?
I'd like to see something more. Yes, we probably still need some depth for more than four-team tournament. I think right now, like as of next year, India could expand into a four-team tournament, and it would be very watchable. It would produce good cricket. It would be something that the broadcasters also will be looking to get, because there will be big ticket stars involved, both domestic and international. If you really compare it to the WBBL, or if you compare it and run a reverse comparison, say, with the WNBA, one of the differences in the way these leagues are structured is that the WNBA has separate brand identities for their women's teams as compared to the NBA. And I mean, we know which amongst the NBA and WNBA, which one is just vastly more popular and followed outside of the US. Whereas the WBBL now, I think, has started to make a global imprint. One of the reasons being, I believe, that they have maintained the same brands between the men's and the women's teams. And I think that's one of the biggest steps that the BCCI will need to take. It's one of the problems that they need to solve, to see how a women's IPL can start while maintaining the same brands, the same franchises come on board for a women's tournament, and not, you know, just waste this 10-year head start that the men's IPL has and start building brands from scratch for women's teams. Just rather than that, piggyback on those brands, piggyback on those franchises, and build your women's team, give them a head start, give them a leg up.
Sure, that's what we would want that to happen for women's cricket. And Ganguly said 3 years down the line, when they have 150 to 160 players is what he's aiming at, before they can have a full-fledged 17 tournament is what they're looking at. So coming back to the A Tour, both of you mentioned about the timing of the A Tour couldn't be better, with India first playing the Tri-Series in Australia against Australia and England before the T20 World Cup. I want both of you to comment on this, to tell me how this A Tour, 3 matches only in T20s and 3 ODIs, so how big a stage this will be for players to grab their spots or probably make a case for them?
Well, Vaibhav, as far as I'm concerned, you know, I think the module for the A Tour in the last few years has been, the template, so to speak, has been set by what Rahul Dravid's constantly been working on the men's side, which is essentially create an environment in which players learn that on the A Tours, the results of the games are not as important as the aspects of your game that you're working on. So essentially, the A Tour is not necessarily about making sure that you win all the matches. It's also about creating opportunities for players. So you shuffle teams around. When you play A Tours at home, in this case, of course, India touring, but there was an attempt to give different types of conditions and put players in different types of situations. I think India will want to, on this tour, the template will be quite similar. They will want to look at players who can fit a certain role. What are the areas in the Indian women's team that are lacking right now, and which are the players that are identified to get that balance right? Also, it's important for players who've been part of the senior setup, so to speak, but haven't quite been consistent or been performing quite well. It's noticeable that Veda Krishnamurthy is the captain of this team on the A Tour. I mean, she's a player who's obviously extremely, has been spoken of very highly. We've seen glimpses of her ability over the years, but she's been dogged by inconsistency. And this is obviously an opportunity for her to have two or three innings in which she can find her rhythm and fluency back. And because with the exit of Mithali Raj from T20 cricket, someone of that experience should be very useful to the Indian middle order. So, you know, things of that nature. I don't think that an 8-odd is necessarily going to be. If India come back from this series, let's imagine having lost all of its matches, just for the sake of argument, I don't think it will be a colossal disappointment if within the minds of the management, they've found answers to some of the things W.V. Raman, the national team coach, looks at these matches and says, right, these are a couple of players that I would now like to introduce or reintroduce to the senior setup, and these are the expectations and the responsibilities I set off them. So that's how I would approach an 8-odd rather than just quite simply saying, all right, the series has ended with India having won or lost.
Snehal, I'll give you the final word to wrap this up. How do you look at this 8-odd as a springboard for the upcoming two series? Like first, obviously, the Tri-Series and the World Cup, and the steps going forward.
I think Gaurav made an excellent point in that there are, I see, four players in this India A squad who are likely to make the final squad that will tour Australia for that Tri-Series and the T20 World Cup. You have Veda Krishnamurthy, who will definitely like this extra game time. And I'm looking at the other names as well, and I see a lot of people who will be going on their first foreign tour. Now, just thinking back to that 2005 tour to Pakistan where the India under 21 team went across the border, and I was a part of that team, and I remember just getting a taste of what international cricket is like when, A, you travel abroad for players back then who were used to traveling in unreserved compartments of trains. We were traveling across the border by flight. It was for many of us our first experience of a flight, forget an international flight. And just many of these firsts will be ticked off in this tour for a lot of these players. So when they graduate to the international level, these things are not foreign to them. It's not just about the conditions and the quality of cricket. It's also about what to expect mentally when you go to another country, especially a country where the culture is so different from India. The food you will eat, the kind of atmosphere, the weather, the climate, and just the culture of cricket in that country, what it looks like. And sometimes these things can get overwhelming for a young player going to another country. I know when I definitely toured Australia, England, I felt, you know, that these guys are doing so many things differently. They must be so much better. But when you actually go on these tours and see and interact a little bit with these players, you realize that they also have the same fears and insecurities as you. And therefore, when you meet them on an international stage, you're not overawed by them. That aura is a little reduced. You know that this is just a player who's doing the same thing as I am. And it just makes it so much easier. So I really wish that all these players on this tour can make the most of this opportunity, because it will be something that will hold India in good stead. And I do believe that besides Australia, India are in talks with places like England and South Africa to hold these A tours regularly and sign these MOUs with them as well. So good signs for Indian cricket, and hopefully it will build up towards the strength of this Indian team, which W.V. Raman, the coach, has said, give these girls 3 years and they will be world beaters.
Very well said there, Snehal, and I think that's all we have for this episode, and we hope that there is this ongoing cycle of A tours and feeder systems in place so that the Indian women's cricket keeps developing and, in the sense, a larger landscape of women's cricket also grows. Thank you so much, Gaurav Kalra. Thank you so much, Snehal Pradhan, for joining us on this edition of Talk.
Pleasure, Vaibhav.
Thank you, Vaibhav.
Thank you.